This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, we have Movie Talk, a program for all things cinema-esque, for the discerning film and video junkie.
Talk. Today we'll be looking at a film in which fantasy and reality happily blend. Mary Poppins Returns. The third episode of How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, and an impossible love story in Cold War.
I honestly can't remember why we kept most of this stuff to begin with.
Don't you remember that kite?
We used to love flying that with Mother and Father.
Those days are long behind me.
That's why I live and breathe.
I was flying the kite and I got caught on a nanny!
Mary.
Poppins, who came back?
You seem hardly to have aged at all.
Really? One never discusses a woman's age, Michael. Would have hoped I taught you better.
What brings you here after all this time?
Same thing that brought me the first time. I've come to look after the Banks children.
Us?
Oh, yes, you too.
We're about to lose our home. Everything's fallen to pieces since your mother.
Mother.
Nothing's gone forever, only out of place.
Mary Poppins Returns is a joyous film that personifies happiness, in which a magical nanny has come back to help the children of a man whom she had looked after a generation earlier. Carolyn Brown has been off to the Hollywood cinemas at Sumner to see this supercalifragilistic fun film, in which the impossible is possible. Carolyn, what do you think of Mary Poppins Returns?
I loved it. I'm not a huge musical fan and I wasn't expecting much, but I can see why all the fuss is about. It was so engaging. I was like smiling in my seat towards the end. I just years of adulthood just went away and became a child again. I think it was really lovely.
Yeah, they do. I mean, Technically, it's a splendid film, the way
they
got
a
lot of CGI in this to put the special song numbers or the magical adventures that they have. Yeah, like all of them diving into the
into
bubbles
the bath,
in the bath and they end up sort of way off in an ocean somewhere and all this sort of thing, you know.
And the storyline, it flows really nicely. I'm not sure if any of the songs I want to learn off by heart, although maybe Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover. I think that was the title of it. That could probably stick in your mind, but none of the others were a bit like supercalifragilistic.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Emily's that is the first one that also had Chim Chimney, songs like this, you know, which have stayed with us.
Spoonful of Sugar?
Oh, gosh, yes, of course. Yeah,
we'll just talk about the first film. No, this one, Emily Blunt is brilliant in this. She does her English accent really, really well.
Yeah.
She just carries the show. But you have to make mention of Jack as well, who plays the chimney sweep. Lantern lighter in this film.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes.
I'd never heard of this guy. He sort of plays the part that Dick Van Dyke played in the earlier film.
Although, he lights lamps as opposed to sweeps chimneys.
Yeah.
But you should have, because he's the creator of Hamilton, which is one of the biggest
musicals. Oh, the big musical.
Yeah, the big musical on Broadway at the moment. He's involved with, and he co-wrote the music for Moana. And
that's a Disney animated film.
A Disney animated film, So he's been with Disney for the last five or so years.
I didn't realise he had that sort of talent.
He's brilliant, and he just has that English accent. So much better than Dick Van Dyke did. But he's awesome, and that's why he was engaging in the film. I just couldn't stop watching when he was dancing. Or...
Yeah, I was very surprised. You know, I didn't realise that that was Emily Blunt. I should have known. But, I mean, usually, I as an actor, I love her. I love her films, always. Girl in the Train.
Well, wasn't the last one that she
Devil
was in?
Devil Wears Prada, Young was Victoria.
That, yeah, wasn't that last film she was in was a Dragon Tattoo kind of remake
one? There was something.
Was that her? I can't remember. No, it wasn't.
I don't think so.
Another actress
I don't think she would have been caught in that one. but the point is, she's usually got quite a big dimple on her chin.
Oh,
and this
she?
One, she just has a vague one, which you see occasionally.
Oh,
and that's why
noticed.
I didn't recognise.
Oh, she was just awesome. She was just full of, everyone in the film is just full of happiness.
Well, the whole film is full of happiness. And I just think it's so wonderful at these times with this all the major sort of concern stuff going around the world that they're putting out these positive films.
Yeah,
with this definite
I think so. Well, especially taking,
message.
I mean, it was such a huge hit, the first film. So remaking, well, no, they haven't remade it. So this is based on another book that Travers wrote.
Mm-hmm.
In the whole series. I didn't even know there was a whole series.
No.
I just thought there was one Mary Poppins and that was it. But no, apparently she wrote a whole series of books.
Yeah.
And so this Return of Mary Poppins is some of those books combined and the characters and stuff and everything else and the return to the children. So
yeah. And, you know, but I mean, if you can work a film on the theme of that even the impossible is possible.
Possible, yes.
I mean, that's just a great idea.
And another song I might remember was the Flip the Lid song, that when in the topsy-turvy house.
Oh, yeah.
You look at things. Mm-hmm.
Yep. No, it's you know, to me, it comes as a huge surprise that first Mary Poppins film came out 55 years ago.
Yes.
Now.
It's probably because they play it nearly every year on TV still.
Well, to me, it still seems so clear in my mind that I, you know, that was with Julie Andrews playing that part. And the song numbers are Chim Chimney Yin one and all those. They're still so clear in my mind that I would have thought it was 20 or 30 years ago. You know? This is a wonderful follow-up, if it's that long afterwards.
This is Disney at its best again, doing children's films that adults can watch as well. This is a very good musical.
Yeah. And of course, they had that other film about the making of this film about two years ago, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, they did. So
about the author.
Yeah, the author, yes.
And that she didn't want to work in with Disney on the
No,
film,
and she was very against penguins, so I thought it was quite funny that they included penguins again in this film.
Yeah. And and there's quite a few surprises.
There's some cameos in there.
Yeah, you've got to stay
people.
Till the end of the film.
You do
catch,
have to stay till
that.
The end of the film.
And all that sort of thing. It's. I think, you know, they can recapture London too. I mean, you're sort of flying over the rooftops, you see all of this. There's one street in that film that looks like something exactly like that Paddington Bear film.
Well, we'll
and sometimes it's got that same sort of feeling to it.
Yeah, the same area. So,
yeah. But, okay, well, I think this is family.
Oh, absolutely.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Positive, lovely family.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. That was Carolyn Brown with her views on Mary Poppins Returns. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9. I'd like to thank the sponsor of the show, the Harcourt's Grenadier Accommodation Centre, which is now located at 98 Moorhouse Avenue. If you're looking for a place to live, check out the Harcourt's Accommodation Centre website, www.assetmanagers.co.nz. That address again, www.assetmanagers.co.nz.
This is Berk, son. It was the home of your grandparents and their grandparents before them. But out there, beyond the edge of the world, lies the home of the dragons. And I believe it's your destiny to one day find this hidden world.
You do know my leg isn't a chew toy, don't you?
Is this what you want?
Yeah, go get it.
How am I supposed to get down? Hey, bud, wait up.
Well, I started out all alone.
He's
not the only one.
Another night fury.
But I ain't got weeks.
It's more like a bright
fury. A light fury.
Yeah, yours is better, probably.
The efforts of an idealistic young Viking to save dragons from extinction enters its third phase in the spectacular animated movie How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. Emma Smart's been off to the Hollywood cinemas at Sumner to see what turns out to be a rather tender story. Emma, you've seen the first two episodes. How does How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World compare to them?
Well, I think it's a beautiful finale for the whole series.
Yeah.
The middle one I didn't probably like as much. The first one was great, and I think this one was almost as good as the first one, which tied it up really nicely.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is the first one came out in 2010, and then there was one 4 years later, and there are 4 years after that. They've given us the final one to tie the whole thing together. I must admit, I had never seen any of the other two.
Oh, well, that would make it a little bit more confusing.
It was that opening sequence where this young Viking with the wonderful name of Hiccup, which. goes off to rescue these dragons from some other place. I didn't quite understand that. You know, why do people have to go and rescue dragons? You know, who wants to?
Oh, yeah, that's all from the first movies about them being hunted and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
it does help to have some background information on what's going on.
It opens a few years down the track from the second movie, once they've sort of established the dragons with them, whereas at the end of the last one, they just sort of welcome the dragons in.
Mm.
A bit more, and then this is obviously once they're far more established and have sort of overgrown the village as well. So I feel like you can watch it without knowing the first two movies, but you're losing a lot of the plot if you do.
Well, these first two seem to have been quite popular. You know, they made a total of $2 billion, the two of them worldwide. I mean, that's not bad money
for any film. They're really good movies.
I was really, as I say, I hadn't seen them, so I was very surprised by this third one. But mainly for two things. The main one is the spectacular style of all these things flying.
The animation in this is really gorgeous to look at as well.
It's such terrific stuff. You just sit back and let that this film flow over you, you know, fly over you. It's in that sense, it's great. And the other thing is, I was thinking it's a bit like Mary Poppins. They put a very big happiness and a caring atmosphere into it, and you know, everything is so positive. They care for each other. They're looking for love there between each other. They're there to help each other. Everything, and then that ending where they have to, Hiccup has to make a few decisions which way he's going to go. They're all so touching.
It's really nice to see all these movies coming out that are so uncynical, especially with, you've got Mary Poppins Returns came out as well, and you've got this one, you've got the Spider-Man movie, like all of these movies that are coming out, they've all got villains and there's something to fight against in them, but they all are just really positive and wanting really great outcomes. And I feel like they're taking sarcasm out of movies a little bit more. They're becoming quite genuine, and the way that the characters interact with each other and how they root for their friends and they really want good things for each other is coming through in a lot of movies. And I suspect it's because people just need to see that in the world at the moment. Like, everyone just wants to see people being nice to each other.
Yeah, that's very true. And, I mean, and this is the kind of film that you can recommend to parents to take their children to
because it's got adult jokes in it that are really funny as well that the kids don't get. But it is just really heartwarming as well. Like, so it's actually it's one of those movies that's not, I mean, it might be a little bit scary for some very small children, but on the whole, it's pretty good for most ages, I would say.
I should think so, yeah. And then the title applies to the subtitle, The Hidden World.
And that is sort of one place that they find on the distant place on the planet where it's a sort of a little dragon world of its own, in a, where they can finally send all the dragons to, where they could safely...
They can be safe and don't have safely to be live. Hunted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, it's not a spoiler either because it's very clear from the trailer that yeah. they find this hidden world as well. But what I really liked about this one was it wasn't like, it didn't end in a way that made you think that they could carry on with another 10 movies. It was properly, satisfyingly ended in a way that you just felt really good about it and you're kind of glad that it finished, like it was a perfect ending.
Yes,
and just ties it all together. So it's a really great trilogy. It's one that you can probably watch over and over.
Yeah, and the main character, Hiccup, well, he's getting quite a bit older in this. I mean, he's become chief of the people in his village of his and all this sort of thing. And was he even got a beard or something towards the end?
Yeah, well, in the first movie, he's like a teenager.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's definitely spanning probably the same amount of time as the actual movies have taken to come out as yeah, well.
Fair enough. That's a fair way of putting it. And then you've also got, he's got a sort of a one dragon who's his best friend, I guess. Called Toothless. Where'd they get names like that?
Well, his teeth retract, so he's toothless sometimes.
Oh, I see. And and even this one, he starts fancying another
You find a light fairy, little white one. It's so cute.
Yeah, and he's black. She's this very like, white colour. And then you see this relationship developing between these two. And that's really cute stuff also.
It is cute. And I saw at the end of that movie, I literally saw people like just sort of dabbing away tears.
Yeah, well, that surprised me.
It was so heartwarming. Everyone was just like, oh, it's such a beautiful way to end it.
It surprised me too that you could do that with these.
I was surprised to feel so emotionally attached to these characters. And I liked the other movies a lot, but I felt so, like I did really feel that heartwarming feeling with these movies at the end of it.
Yeah.
And the voice acting's really good in it too. Like really enjoyable.
Fun.
The voice acting's really good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm.
As well. So it's funny in that the acting is great and the animation's beautiful. And I did think, I was a little bit worried that this storyline would be a bit more like the second one and just sort of be a similar rehashing of the same kind of story. But they didn't really do that. They changed it up again, which was really, I was really happy to see that.
Yeah. Well, this, I think, is one year where they've got a lot of good, positive school holiday films for the kids.
It's a really good month for movies.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. That was Emma Smart helping me with How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9.
Dwa serduszka, cztery oczy. Oj, oj, oj. Co płakały we dnie w nocy. Oj, oj, oj. Czarne oczka, co płaczecie, że się spotkać nie możecie, że się spotkać nie możecie. Mnie matula zakazała, oj, oj, oj. Żebym chłopca nie kochała, oj, oj, oj. A ja chłopca chaps za szyję, będę kochać póki żyję, będę kochać.
Set in 1950s Poland, Cold War takes us into the bleak world of a mismatched couple in impossible times. Mary Gibson's been off to the Academy Cinemas at the Colombo Shopping Mall to see this love story punctuated by turmoil and conflict. Mary, this film was given the Best Director Award at last year's Cannes Film Festival. What did you think of Cold War?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think you've really summed it up well. It is a love story, but it's an incredibly sad love story, and it's full of so many different elements in terms of, I guess, the frustration that you feel that this couple are on a path to nowhere, But they try incredibly hard to go somewhere. I don't want that to sound confusing, but it's...
But no, that sums up the film very well.
Yeah, you kind of get frustrated that they never quite manage to pull it together and never quite manage to be in the right place at the right time. Because you have to remember that this movie starts in 1949, so yeah. It's at the end of the, well, it's 4 years after the end of the war, but Poland is still very much shut down and still very much aligned or governed by what Russia thinks.
Yeah, and, it's behind the Iron Curtain, under communism.
And that comes across very strongly, and that how it starts is that there are these two people, they're not a couple, although I think maybe the woman would like them to be, who look for raw talent in Poland in terms of singing talent, people from the mountains. So this very folk ethnic talent to tell a story, really, I guess, to revitalise what was destroyed during the war.
Yeah.
And that's how it starts.
To bring back part of the old culture,
I think. So it starts from this. Totally. It starts from this point of purity, really.
Yeah.
And then becomes so sullied because the Russians want to then influence it and you know, have Stalin glorified.
Posters up on the wall when they're singing.
So it takes quite a different path. And then, of course, you've got the situation where this group then becomes very well known. They start touring and of course, you get situations where members of the group want to defect into the West, into other countries, to France and to so on. And so that's I guess that's the stage on which this story is set. And so you have this impossible love story where one party wants to defect, the other says they will, but they don't. And then how their lives play out as from that decision, shall we say. And it's quite complex how it interweaves back into who's connected to who.
Yeah, it never deliberately explains anything straight.
No.
You see, you can see this couple have sort of got their eyes on each other, but you hardly ever see them actually talking to each other, you know, getting to know each other, until about three or four scenes later you see them in bed together. It's like, aha, well, we've got to that stage now.
Yeah.
You know, this sort of thing. But they've this disjointed editing of the film. I think it's sort of done deliberately. It sort of reflects a disjointed nature of the relationship between these two people, and you're bouncing between. But then there's an other side to this film we haven't mentioned yet, and that's the music. I mean, it seems like more than half of it is songs.
Yes, it is, and that's what I was saying. You know, this folk group, this singing, this raw talent. And this woman who is the lead, Zula, she tries out and she tries to get into this folk group, which she does because she does have a real raw talent, but she is by no means a mountainous folk singer. She's from the city. And she has a past, you know, and I love the line where they say, oh, you know, you've got this past and we hear you stabbed your father. And why is that? And she said, yes, well, he mistook me for my mother. And I think, wow, you know, so there's some great lines in there that just make you go, wow, you know, these are real wow moments. And coming back to the fact that film was shot in black and white. And I think, you know, you've got to remember it's at the end of the war. It's that austerity which comes across. There's nothing flamboyant at all. You know, so it's all of those elements that are really, you know, played out in this movie. And it's, you know, I was frustrated, yet at the same time, I think it was quite beautiful.
I was enjoying it at the same time as I kept on thinking, what's going to happen next or what is happening? And I was thoroughly enjoying it. I mean, because both that sort of folk type music and also that set recapturing Poland of that period. I mean, that's about 70 years ago now. And, you know, they somehow recapture that and you forget that feeling. And then they move about a bit. It's out of Poland. They go to Yugoslavia for a few scenes and then to Berlin and quite a few in Paris where you get a touch of freedom. And again, the editing of the film. I mean, by that time,
It starts in 1949. While in Paris in a nightclub, you hear Bill Haley's Rock Around the Clock playing. Yeah. You think, gosh, this has got to be 1955 or 56 by now.
Well, it was.
It covers quite a period without explaining that.
It does. And I mean, all you see is the year at the bottom. It comes up. Mm. And so you know you're 10 years later, you're 1959 in Paris. That's your only indication, really, isn't it? And so you start to realise, okay, this has moved on quite a lot, but the love story hasn't.
Yeah. No, yeah, and we better not talk about the ending.
No.
But anyway, I think people have to be prepared beforehand for this film, that dark negative element in the film.
Yeah.
No, be aware of that before you go. Be warned. But there's another side to it too, which makes it a very interesting film.
Absolutely. I really liked this movie, no matter how sad it was and no matter how frustrated you were. I really liked this movie. It's well worth seeing if you're a movie aficionado.
Good. Thank you, Mary. That was Mary Gibson with her views on Cold War. And I'm Hans Petrovic, a movie talk on Plains FM 96.9, saying goodbye until midday next Wednesday.